Thank you, worship team. All right. It's so glad, so good to have you with us today. Well, I need each one of you to do something for me. I need you to smile at me. Because you may not leave that way. Stay smiling if you can. This morning I'm going to be preaching on a topic I don't normally cover, a topic that I don't usually preach about, and just so that you know, I'm not really preaching it because of you. I'm preaching it because there's been things going around in our church body. Okay. I'm not talking about big, nasty, bad things, terrible things. There's just things that are going on. I'm just trying to nip it in the bud and kind of give some teaching on it biblically, all right? So if you have your Bibles, we're turning to, this is the very end of the love chapter. Can you say love chapter? Which is where? 1 Corinthians what? 13, good job. 1 Corinthians 13, we're going to go to the very last verse. And in that verse, it says this: three things will last forever. What are they? Who knows? Without looking. Faith, hope, and love. Look at what it says at the end. And the greatest of these is love. The greatest of these three things is love. And so I also want to take us to the very next verse in chapter 14, verse 1 of chapter 14. It's a continuation. Now it says here, let love be your highest goal. Okay, if love was the greatest of those three important things, now he's saying, let love be your highest goal. And he actually goes on there and begins to talk about some spiritual gifts. And I'm not really heading that direction. I want to point out that very first line. Let love be your highest goal. And so I'm going to take you to, this next slide is a different version, the same verse, but in a different version. I like the way that this one is worded. Look at this. Follow the way of love. We do really well to follow the way of love. We do very well to follow Christ in his example of love. Didn't Jesus love all the time? And what a wonderful example for us. And so we're instructed to follow the way of love, to pursue love, or in other words, let love be our highest goal. And unfortunately, sometimes it's not, is it? You don't have to answer. There's going to be some times where in the service that it's going to be quiet and you don't have to amen. It's okay. I want to turn to Proverbs chapter 11, verse 13. A gossip goes around telling secrets, but those who are trustworthy can keep a confidence. A gossip goes around telling other people's secrets, telling other things that would damage somebody's character or their other relationships. Okay, we want to be careful not to do that, right? Look at this next verse, Proverbs 16:28. A troublemaker plants seeds of strife. Gossip separates the best of friends. You see how damaging gossip can be? There is too much work to be done in the kingdom of God for us to be focusing in on gossip and strife. Is there not? Don't we have more than enough work to do in reaching people for the kingdom of God? I agree. There's plenty for us to do as Christians, and really we ought to do that out of love. And so my main point today is that when we're operating in, when we're involved in gossip, when we're involved in those types of things, we're not involved in love. Do you see that in the scripture? And so that's kind of my main point today. And I want to take you to a verse. I want to take you to something that Jesus said. This is something that we don't normally talk about either, but this is something that Jesus said that will help us to understand how important these things are. Okay, so turn with me to Matthew chapter 5. We're going to look at two verses here. Matthew chapter 5, verse 23 and 24. And Jesus says here, he says, so if you're presenting a sacrifice at the altar in the temple, and you suddenly remember that someone has something against you. Okay, I'm going to stop right there. We're not going to go to the next verse just yet. But how many times have you been there and you're trying to praise God, you're trying to pray, and you're like, oh yeah, I have that problem with so-and-so. That's probably the Lord. That's probably the Lord bringing it up. Okay? And he's saying, you're in the middle of your act of worship, okay? But let's go ahead and look at verse 24. He says, leave if you're there and God suddenly reminds you that someone has something against you. Then verse 24, leave your sacrifice there at the altar. What does he say to do though? You're leaving that act of worship. You're leaving that. We no longer make sacrifices like they did then. Okay, Jesus was that one-time sacrifice for all mankind, praise God. And he says, leave your sacrifice there at the altar, and now I want you to go and be reconciled to that person. Go and work things out with them. Go in and be reconciled. Go and make peace with them. Then you come back and finish that act of worship. So what is God saying? I think that, I used these scriptures a few weeks back in a message, but Jesus, when he was asked, what's the greatest commandment? The greatest commandment would be one commandment, right? Jesus responds with two, and here's why. And really, it overlaps completely right here. He said, well, the greatest commandment would be love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, and all your soul. And the second is like it. In other words, this one's as equally as important. Okay, so the first one, Jesus said, you got to love the Lord your God with all your heart. This would be our vertical relationship with God. Now back to this one, Jesus kind of gave a scenario. You're in the process of worshiping God. You're working on that vertical relationship with God. But then he said, forget about that for now because there's a problem. Right? There's a problem in your life because you're at odds with somebody else. So if we go back to what Jesus said, he said, and the second greatest commandment, the second one is the same. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love other people. And that's really what Jesus is saying again. He's saying, hey, you need to leave that act of worship so you can go get reconciled, go make peace with that other individual. Or individuals. Does that make sense? Evidently, it's pretty important to God that we get along with each other. Go ahead, try smiling at me again. I love y'all, every single one of you. But you know what? From time to time, I want us to kind of work on this area. Because there's been too many things getting back to my ears. Does that make sense? Too many things getting back to my ears. Matter of fact, I'll say this. Well, Jesus said it. He said, if you have a problem with somebody, you need to go to them, try to work it out. But sometimes what happens in our setting is you come to me. I don't need to be involved. I don't need to be inserted into the equation until later, at least biblically. I'm not getting onto you. If you're asking for advice, that's one thing. But sometimes what we'll do is, back to the gossip thing, sometimes we end up gossiping by way of prayer request. Oh, in front of everybody. Oh, pastor, yeah, we need to remember to pray for so-and-so because, you know, they're really... That's what we do sometimes. I know you guys wouldn't do it. Smile at me, come on. I'm trying to make a little bit light of a difficult subject, okay? But if the shoe fits, wear it. If the Lord is stepping on your toes this morning, that'd be conviction. And that means he's saying you need to go get right with so-and-so, whoever so-and-so is, whatever it's about. But biblically, if there's a conflict, you're supposed to go to them and work it out. And then if they won't listen to you, then you grab somebody else and you go to them again. And you try to work it out. And then on the third try, if those first two don't work, then you come to me. Listen, I'm going to tell you how my mindset is on a lot of this. We can work pretty much anything out. So I don't worry about it if you're mad at somebody or if somebody says something. I just really don't worry about it much. But I really felt prompted in preparation of this message just to give this teaching, this gentle correction, this gentle rebuke, okay? Because clearly we have some foundation for it in the Word, don't we? If you're in the middle of your act of worship, what does that look like today? Well, it could have looked like when we're standing here worshiping God together. And I believe it's the Holy Spirit that's going to remind us, hey, don't forget about so-and-so. I'd really like for you to work that out. And we take that as, oh, that's just the devil because I was already in my act of worship. I was worshiping the Lord, or I was spending time in prayer. And we're like, oh, that's not me. That's not God. No, it probably was God. We want it not to be God because we don't want to have to deal with things. Right? Go and be reconciled to that person. Go and work it out. Can I give you a little bit of instruction on how to work those things out? Obviously, the scenarios could be very, very broad. Sometimes it's just as simple as, hey, I wanted to apologize. I'm sorry. I felt like the other day that I snapped at you, and I wanted to apologize. That could have hurt your feelings, and I'm sorry. If you know somebody was hurt by something that you did, it's nearly the only right thing to do is to own up to it. And let me caution you, when you go to talk with them and work it out, you don't say, if I hurt you, I'm sorry. Well, why? Why would you, should you not use those two letters, that little bitty word, if? Well, it's very simple, because if you use the word if in that statement, what you're really saying to them is, if that hurt you, I don't think that it should have because you're very sensitive. I don't think it should have hurt you. You're being a big baby. Seriously, am I right? Don't use those words. Now they're really going to be mad at you if you say that after this message. If I hurt you, because that's what we'll do. But the better reply, the better response is, hey, if I hurt you, and I'm sure that could have hurt, I won't apologize. So then the ball's on your court. If somebody's come to you and said something like that, and then you say, it's okay. And it would be okay to say, you know what, it did hurt. But I'm so glad that you came to me. Thank you. That wasn't easy. Oh, and by the way, you're forgiven, absolutely. So then what do you do from then? That's in the past. Because you just forgave them. Now, it doesn't mean that you have to give that individual or those who hurt you. It doesn't mean you have to give them all the trust that they had before. But it does mean you have to forgive. Didn't Jesus say, if you don't forgive, you won't be what? That's huge. That's huge. If you don't forgive, you won't be forgiven. Oh, goodness. But instead, the proper response is, Absolutely, you're forgiven. If Jesus forgave me, then I'll gladly forgive you. But it's tough, isn't it? It's tough. So if somebody stumbles all over their words when they're trying to apologize, give them the benefit of the doubt. Say, hey, it's all right. There have been times where I went to somebody and said, listen, I feel convicted. I feel like I need to say this. I wanted to apologize. Matter of fact, there's one guy I used to work with a long, long time ago when I first came to Christ. I said, I need to apologize to you because I've hated you. What? I didn't know any of that. I still need you to forgive me, okay? That was like 24 years ago. Sometimes they're not going to have a clue. But you still have to be obedient to the Lord. So if you're presenting a sacrifice at the altar and you suddenly remember that someone has something against you, that's more than likely going to be the Holy Spirit tugging at your heart, then you're supposed to leave your sacrifice right there. And you're supposed to go to that person and be reconciled to them. Then you can finish that act of worship. Because in reality, living at peace with other people, especially brothers and sisters, is also an act of worship. I think that anything that we do because we're trying to obey the word of God, trying to follow God, trying to honor Him, I think any of those are acts of worship. When we say yes to something because Christ says we should, if we say no to something because He says we should say no, I think those are all acts of worship. It's us being obedient to the Lord, you see. And there's going to be times, and there may be times, it may be today, maybe God's saying, yeah, I put this on His heart. I put this on His heart. I put this in His mouth. I reminded Pastor Chad of these words so that you can deal with this. It's time. Don't put it off any longer. You can smile at me again. But seriously, the Lord wants us to take care of this kind of business. He wants us to do this. I mean, He made it very clear that you're in the middle of worship, in the middle of being obedient to what God said in one way. And then now He's saying, I need you to also make sure not to overlook this other area, right? So stick with me. We are going to 1 John chapter 4. We're getting close. 1 John chapter 4, verse 20. John writes, if someone says, I love God, but also hates a fellow believer, that person is a liar. Now listen, I didn't write that. That's there for you and I to live by. It's not something I made up. If someone says, I love God, but hates a fellow believer, that person is a liar. For if we don't love people that we can see, how can we love God whom we cannot see? You and I are required to love other people. That's what it means to follow Jesus. That's what it means to be a Christian. It is a Christ follower. Matter of fact, my wife, my family and I were at a Royals game the other day. My wife and I were sharing this at this Mountain Dew because those drinks are really expensive. And so we're sharing a Mountain Dew, and this guy sitting by us, he says, hey, do you want some Crown in that? I was like, what? So he repeats the same question again, like now I'm going to get it. Sometimes just repeating it doesn't help. So finally he's like, Crown Royal, man. You want some Crown Royal in your Mountain Dew? No. And this was my response. It took me a little bit to figure out what I wanted to say. Because in America, everybody's a Christian. And I don't believe that. But that's the way a lot of people think in our mindsets. And so I didn't want to say I'm a Christian. I don't do that. I said, I'm a follower of Jesus. I don't do that. And I didn't try to snub the guy, but I wasn't interested in what he was selling. I'm just not interested in that. That's not me. It's not what I do. Because I follow Jesus, that's not what I do. And anyway, we've got to love people. If we can't love people that we can see, how can we love God whom we can't see? So if we say that we love God, but we don't love other people, then what does the Bible say? That we really don't love God. You're lying. I know that hurts. I can't read this one and not be convicted. That's good. That's good. It's good that we still feel like the Lord is tugging on our hearts for these things. When we read His Word, it's wonderful, even though it's unpleasant. And then in the next verse, in verse 21, and He has given us this command, those who love God must also love their fellow believers. And I look around the room and I see all these wonderful people. Why do you want to gossip about somebody else and harm them? So instead, if somebody starts talking to you about somebody else, you may just need to say, hey, I'm not interested in hearing about that. Or maybe you turn to them, and I could imagine a few of you doing this. Maybe you should go tell them about it. Do they know? Because, church, evidently, it matters how this horizontal relationship that we all have with one another. And clearly, some people are going to be closer than other people are to you. But evidently, these horizontal relationships, evidently, they matter. As does your vertical relationship between you and God. So if the Holy Spirit is convicting you, what do? Well, it's very, very simple. You say, God, I need your help. I think that you're directing me to talk to some people and apologize and ask their forgiveness. And you just simply humble yourself and you go to them. That's not easy. So what I would say, if they come to you, you say, man, that takes a big person to do, doesn't it? How many of you know it takes a big person to apologize, simply to say, I'm sorry? Yeah. So just breathe grace. Breathe grace. But I'd really love it if the backbiting would stop. Because I think the Lord would love that. Don't you? We have a great church full of great people. It's just a little thing that I'm trying to take care of today. Okay? We're not done, because look at this one. 1 Peter 4, verse 8. You were there. Most of all, continue, as my wife comes up, I'm going to give you the opportunity in a moment. The Lord's dealing with your heart. I want to give you the opportunity, some time to pray in the altar. Before you go and do that, God would give you the wisdom. Timing sometimes is the wisdom in it. And clearly what to say is wisdom. And then we're in 1 Peter 4, 8. Most of all, continue to show deep love for each other. Notice it says deep love, not just surface love. Surface love is that, well, we're really good at that on Sunday mornings. Okay, but I feel we are a church that's strong in this deep love aspect, even though there's been some things going on. And it's not awful. but it is there. So I'm pointing out the elephant in the room. Okay, but we've got to love one another and care for one another. See, the scripture here says, continue to show deep love. Surface love is that love that's, oh, hey, how you doing? And we keep on walking. Oh, hey, good to see you. Keep on walking. And this service is not designed to get to know each other real well. So it's not your fault. It's just this service isn't designed to help with that very well. That's why we do some other things. Where we can get to know one another in those things and begin to care about each other deeply. Okay? It says, continue to show deep love for one another. Look at this. For love covers a multitude of sins. Isn't that wonderful? And many of you have received that kind of love, both from God and from others, haven't we? Praise God. This morning, I'm just going to ask you to bow your hearts. If you're here and you don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior, you've never made a decision to live for Him, and this morning, you realize your need for Him, I want to give you the opportunity to begin a relationship with Christ. If that's you, I'm just going to invite you to slip up your hand so that I can see it. I want to begin a relationship with Jesus. I need Him to forgive me. This is you've not been walking with Christ. If that's you, just slip up your hand so that I can see it. And then you can put it right back down. Okay. I'm going to shift gears. This one has to deal with the message this morning. Maybe the Holy Spirit's been convicting you and you're just saying, oh, I need you to show me how to do this. I need you to walk with me in it. Because listen, I'm not looking for one person. I'm not looking at you like, okay, if you don't come up. I'm just saying, I wanted to express what God's word says, that we shouldn't be gossiping about one another, that we should instead love one another. And we should be gracious and kind and look out for their benefit and not look to how we can damage their reputation. But if that's you this morning, I'm going to invite you. If the Lord's convicted you, maybe there's something else going on in your life. Maybe it's some health issue. Maybe it's a family situation. Maybe some other kind of crisis. And you just need to pray and say, God, I want to invite you to the front. We're going to spend some time in the altar by seeking after Him. You're welcome to join me.
Lord, I come. I confess. Bowing here, I find my rest. Without you, I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart. Oh, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you, my one defense, my righteousness, oh God, how I need you. We're saved.